Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome into Old School. I am Austin Orman, half of the Foreman and Orman crew. Rumor has it that the other half, the more NFL experienced half, the Husker Hall of Famer half of the show, will be calling in. He's got some business to attend to. He's hoping to hear from it. Jay, get some spring ball thoughts as Nebraska now 19 days away from the Husker games. Certainly some headlines coming out of spring practice coordinators and whatnot. Over the last week or so, haven't been tuned out of Husker football by any means. Just kind of been on the back burner. Still basketball season. Definitely still basketball season for at least tonight. Maybe a few more nights after this. And honestly, it's probably baseball season after that. But I know you guys have football thoughts, so I'm more than happy to talk about it if that's what's on your mind. Let me know, 402-464-5685. Thanks for tuning in, whether you're on your way home from work, maybe got off a little bit early, and you're throwing some Mercado steaks or pork chops or chicken breasts or chicken thighs or chicken wings on the grill. You know, I think they have some lamb, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. They got pretty much everything. Hopefully you're cooking up or planning to cook up some great meat from the Mercado. It's nice to be back, y'all. It's really nice to be back. The last day or so has been a bit of a grind getting through a couple games, getting through the late-night red-eye travel, but I am so very incredibly appreciative of the opportunity to go to Vegas. Thanks to DP and Rebecca for putting me up in the hotel in Vegas all week. Got some really good stuff, some really fun coverage of Nebraska and the college basketball crown. Of course, a huge shout-out to the fellas back here making everything run. Obviously, Strick and Jay holding down the show. Nick, Harrison, Bach, Jackson, Rudy, Gracie, whole crew, really holding everything down while I was out there in Vegas. Means the world to be able to get to go to cover the team. Not a huge media contingent out there, so made it nice. Had some more opportunities, you know, with the players, with the coaches. Got a little bit closer, a little more access. And I do want to tip my cap. I'll actually do it here on stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Allo 961 running for you to the college basketball crown. You probably heard Fred Hoiberg say it all week. First class event, well run event. Yes, I absolutely second that. No one gave me any grief when I looked lost and wandering and confused deep in the dark corners of T-Mobile Arena. They pointed me the right way when I turned the wrong way on MGM Grand because I misread the street signs to get into the arena the first night. Someone found me, pointed me back in the right direction, told me where to go for media seating. Nothing but hospitable, nothing but gracious and welcoming with Las Vegas and with their tournament. It really was a fantastic, fantastic experience. Cubsker, no, I did not sit at the $5 tables, although I did find them. I don't want to spend the whole show regaling you with Las Vegas stories because I didn't get the full Vegas experience. I wasn't necessarily on my bucket list, right? I got out to a Las Vegas Aviators game. That was interesting, kind of an old friends reunion of sorts for those of us who are our Kansas City Royals fans. Mason Barnett was the pitcher for Sacramento, the Oakland A's affiliate, I believe it was. It would be the A's in Sacramento, Las Vegas, home of the San Francisco Giants affiliate, home to former Storm Chasers catcher Logan Porter, but also CJ Alexander, part of that trade for Lucas Irsay brought him to Kansas City, got to see Mason Barnett pitch, got shelled a little bit by the home team. It was a back-and-forth game. I didn't stay the whole time. I didn't. I'm kind of ashamed to admit that. A little wiped out after a couple of days of basketball, and also I was just kind of a wuss. It was chilly. You're going to a desert, and you know that at night it gets a little cold. but I thought it was going to heat up a little more than it did. I was a little disappointed by the Vegas weather. Not that it was bad, right? Not a cloud in the sky any day. It was perfectly adequate. It was warm enough. But I was expecting, you know, shorts and a t-shirt the whole week. I was wearing jeans and a quarter zip more often than I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little bummed by that. But you know what? That's all right. Back here in God's country in the 402. I had a really interesting last 24 hours or so. I mean, at this point yesterday, Nebraska was wrapped up with its college basketball crown victory. They were going through the post-game ceremonies. It was really cool to be down on the court and see the emotions of the team, see how they soaked in and reacted to that moment. You could tell how much playing in that tournament meant to Nebraska. The fact that they, you know, not only went to the tournament, but won the tournament, it meant something to that group of guys. We heard from Jeffrey Grace III during On the Block on our first segment. Great to see him and catch up with him as Nebraska is officially back in town and the season is complete. To hear him talk about the locker room at halftime, where Fred Hoiberg is telling the team, be yourself. Be who you are. Play Nebraska basketball. And it worked. To hear Nebraska seniors, despite the deficit that they faced against UCF, you know, early to mid second half, to hear Jeff talk about, you know, the rest of the seniors that rallied together and said, this is not what they're going to be remembered for. This is not what the lasting impression is going to be. It is impressive resolve at the end of the season. And I think you could really see it in the way that Nebraska players reacted. I mean, the hug that Bryce and Juwan shared near midcourt, really touching moment, right? Those are two guys who have been through it together over the last, you know, couple of years. Obviously, Juwan is here. This was his third year in Lincoln, but he suffered that shoulder injury, so he wasn't able to play out the 22-23 season. And Bryce Williams joins Juwan Gary in Lincoln for 23-24, and then most recently 24-25. Seeing the moment between those two was really cool. Kudos to Husker Nation for showing up and showing out in Las Vegas. Far more Husker fans than any other fan base represented out there. You know, good final coaching job, I thought, by Fred Hoiberg to get the most out of this team and find a way to pilot them to four wins in 7 days. And it really was a full team effort. Juwan Gary, in my book, a deserving MVP for the work that he put in on both sides of the ball over the better course of the four games throughout the last week. Bryce Williams would not have been a bad choice. Connor Seagen certainly came alive and put Nebraska in position to win, especially against UCF. But what a moment for Juwan Gary to be named the first ever college basketball crown MVP. Meaningful for him, meaningful for Nebraska. And I think the fact that Nebraska's game got a better TV billing than even the women's national championship game did, on the one hand, it's a little wild. On the other hand, it's completely intentional by Fox. It's savvy. It's smart. I think Fox did the right thing and put it 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern and 2:30 Pacific time. I thought it was a pretty darn well-run event, all things considered. My tip of the cap again goes out to the staff for how welcoming and courteous they were in making sure we all got pointed in the right direction. Robin Washington of Husker Online and I stuck it out the entire week. Justin Frommer was there for a little bit before a duty called him elsewhere. So it was just a nice week that felt like a year, that felt like I was on a completely different planet. Vegas is not Lincoln. Lincoln is not Vegas. I mean, I would have told you that before ever going to Las Vegas, but it is so incredibly stark and true now. And for those of you who maybe didn't hear the top of On the Block, so after, you know, Nebraska wraps up the win, we hear from Fred Hoiberg and it was then Esegen, Williams, and Gary for the Huskers. I kind of hustled out of there. Didn't have anywhere to be in a super hurry, but I'm kind of paranoid about getting to airports, especially big, busy international airports. So I probably got there a little bit too soon and, you know, hour and a half sooner than I probably needed to or should have. Could have probably grabbed a bite to eat somewhere before the airport, but I didn't. And that's okay. I was just hanging out, chilling, watching some shows, catching up on a little bit of stuff too. When 10 minutes before I board my flight from Las Vegas to Chicago, which was an 11:59 p.m. Pacific time departure, by the way, 10 minutes before boarding, who walks up but DJ Carstensen. Yes, that DJ Carstensen. The referee. The official. Who reffed his fair share of Nebraska games this year, including the finals of the college basketball crown. He was on my flight. We're sitting in the same row. He got the aisle. I got the window on opposite sides of the plane. But, you know, I acknowledged him and kept it moving. You know, didn't want to make a big deal out of it. I know who he is. He didn't have to know who I was. But what kind of surprised me was we both went to McDonald's for breakfast. He saw my Nebraska, pullover hoodie that I was wearing. He came over and started talking to me. Cool dude. Nice dude. You know, you get a first impression of someone. He was not my first impression of him. So it was really nice to meet and chat with, Big Ten and college basketball official DJ Carstensen. That was a pretty darn cool way to start my morning. Then 10, 15 minutes before I'm getting ready to board my flight from O'Hare to Lincoln, tall girl walks up, sits down, wearing a Xavier shirt. Okay, interesting. I think things with Xavier. Sure, it was Navy at the very least. I thought I saw an X. But, okay, look like an athlete. Well, I stand up to go get in the boarding line. And who was about Andy Jackson? I shared a plane with DJ Carstensen and a different plane with Andy Jackson today.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
That's just kind of the day that I'm having. It was a fun trip. They were fantastic flights, super smooth, great staff. Got Dune watched on the way out and the way back. Fantastic movies. Really enjoy those. Hope they come out with the part 3 sooner than later. But yeah, it really was a great trip to Vegas. I am so extremely, extremely glad to be home with all of you here during old school, you here, Ticket family. And seriously, thank you guys for following along with my coverage, for tuning into post game, for being active and engaged on Twitter. With the radio shows that I popped on throughout the week from Vegas, it really does mean the world, right? Without you guys, I don't say stuck at home, right? I'm happy to be back home. I'm thrilled to be back home. I got a wife. I got a kid. I love him dearly. But it is also, my job. Part of the reason I got into this business was to have the opportunity for trips like this. I don't take them for granted. I hope the work that I do and I did certainly reflects just how grateful I am for the opportunity to head out there. Let's go ahead and hit the text line here before we go to break. Cubsker says a few things here. My thoughts on Gary winning MVP of the tournament, certainly deserved. And Nebraska proved they can play effective basketball with one big man. Had this conversation in bits and pieces. I did a pretty long Twitter thread on this as well. But yes, I tweeted this out when Nebraska made the run against Arizona State to get back in the game. What was the lineup for Nebraska? Hoiberg, Esiejan, Williams, Gary, and Morgan. Sure, sometimes, some nights, one of those guys doesn't have it. But the odds that all four of them aren't going to have it is pretty slim to none. Nebraska is decent enough at matchup hunting that they can find whoever has the hot hand, give guys a crack at it, hit it great. If not, well, we're on to the next option. I don't have a huge philosophical problem with Nebraska playing two bigs on its own. If that's what they want to do, great. I do have a problem when Nebraska goes big really just for the sake of being big. And I would tell you that I would think that the Fred Hoiberg and his coaching staff wouldn't just go big for the sake of going big, right? That's just such a surface level change if it doesn't actually come with some philosophy behind it, which Nebraska using two bigs, and here's the key part of this, two non-stretch, non-spacing, non-playmaking bigs. That's the issue. If Nebraska had a front court of, Cooper Flagg and Yaxel Landeberg or Danny Wolfe and Robbie Avila, shoot, Danny Wolfe and Vlad Golden work pretty well for Michigan at times. That'd be one thing. But either Nebraska didn't recruit those guys or they didn't develop on the court this year, and it left Nebraska in a really really tricky situation. How could Nebraska have mitigated some of the issues in the post? Could have had more aggressive guard play, right? Sam Hoiberg, Cale Jacobson, Aaron Ulis did not play with the same aggression in Vegas that they did throughout the rest of the year. They took a step up. They got better, which is what you want to see with 3 weeks off. But it does make you wonder, you know, over the last month and a half or two, was there a time, was there a possession? Was there a shot that these guys took or didn't take that they could have made the right play, made a better play, and they just didn't? But I still think that Nebraska runs the smoothest, the most effective, and most efficient offense when it only plays one big man. Because you, yeah, maybe you silo them a little bit and it's easier to predict. But if you're better at it and your guy's more comfortable getting a shot after a rejected middle ball screen, whatever it takes, right? Just find ways to put your guys in positions to succeed. T-Rob, did they put you up at the Wynn Hotel? I was at the Polo Towers, a Hilton Vacation Club, right there on the Strip. Walked to pretty much everything. I drove to the Hoover Dam. I drove to... Where else did I drive to? I think that's it. Yeah, because I did some stuff on my way back from the Hoover Dam. But I think I walked literally everywhere. I wasn't getting an Uber the entire time, right? That would have been wildly, wildly expensive there. John in Cortland, I booked my return flight tickets because the options were I get home at 10:45 this morning or I get home at 10 o'clock tonight. And another day gone with work to do with responsibilities was absolutely not going to fly. Phil says, I already heard your story about the airplanes, but I've not heard your take on Duke's epic meltdown. Well, Phil, I will relive it just for you because you asked, because you probably think I brought this on myself. Okay, so Saturday, Nebraska wraps up the win over Boise State in the semifinals. For my money, probably their most impressive win of the weekend, of the week, I should say. That was a solid Boise State team. Nebraska played some really good basketball for most of that game. Get done with that. Get done with media responsibilities. Head back to the hotel, ditch my stuff. And there's this Italian place I wanted to go to. It was in the Forum Shops at Caesar's Palace. Got lost a couple times. Found my way there eventually. It didn't get lost on the streets, but actually inside of Caesar's Palace and whatnot. Sitting there, pulled up a spot at the bar. Everything they served at this restaurant was a la carte and family-sized. And it was tasty. It wasn't what I expected from my shrimp scampi. Probably should have read the menu a little bit closer, but big shrimp scampi guy here. But anyways, I'm sitting at the bar. These two dudes, I don't know, middle-aged, a little older than my parents and in-laws probably, walk up, having a blast of a time. And Duke's up. You know, they're up 8. They're up 10, keeping Houston kind of at arm's length. And it's at that point, I'm like, well, you know what? I'm not eating any more of this. I'm not going to get a box of seafood and I have a chance to sit down and eat it on Sunday. So you know, I'm just going to head back to my hotel and get there in time for the second half, which I did. Checked the score on my way back to the hotel, saw that it was 34-28. And I had a weird feeling in my gut. On the one hand, it was, okay, hey, Duke's up 6 on Houston. Not many teams get up by 2 possessions on the Cougs. Okay, that's solid. Well, come to find out that Duke was actually up 12. And then gave up 3 straight threes to end the half. Like, well, that's the one way Houston's going to stay in this game is shooting over top of Duke's defense with smaller guards. Second half starts. Houston makes a little bit of push. Duke extends. Lee gets to 14. And I mentioned this to Strick at the end of On the Block. Despite Houston making the push, the moment I felt, even if it wasn't pretty, Duke was going to have enough to finish it off was their struggle. And they're up 4, I believe it was. It's either 4 or 5. Cooper Flagg hits that 3 and then blocks the absolute stuffing out of a shot on the other end. That's where I'm like, okay, yep, Coop's back. He's going to do something cool. Duke's going to have just enough to get it done. Turning point moment is that I think Duke went into stall ball mode with about 10 minutes left instead of just playing the game the way they were. I don't know if they got tight. I don't know if they got complacent. I don't know if they just went into, you know, Dean Smith 4-corner stall ball mode, whatever it was. They didn't get the same caliber of looks, even though some of them went around and out, just didn't drop for them. But it's the same thing Duke did a couple times in the regular season. So I'm not necessarily shocked by it. It's just unfortunate. And then, you know, last 2 minutes, they don't handle press break well. A smaller, more aggressive team was able to full front and deny Duke. Credit to Houston for that. Duke's got to handle press break better, something you work on since middle school, but you don't face a defense like Houston's in middle school. So, you know, Duke didn't handle it great, but Houston got the bounces, right? Ball finds energy. Houston was more energetic. Houston played like they wanted it a little bit more. Huge credit to the Cougs. I'm a fan of that program and the way Kelvin Sampson has cleaned things up right in the new day and age. You know, since he had the scarlet letter on him from his recruiting violations at Indiana. I like Houston. They're fun, right? I don't normally like these defense-first programs, but what Kelvin Sampson has stood for, the way his players play for him, really like that team, really like that program. You know, disappointed, obviously, for Duke. More disappointed for Duke than I am in Duke. Bummed. I thought that was a title or bust team that the John Shire and the Blue Devils had put together. Huge credit to Houston for it. I mean, Duke was just one play away. One play away. You can point to the last 10 minutes, last 8 minutes, last four, last two. Houston ended up one play better in the end. It's on that team's ledger, on Shire's record forever. Doesn't really change the way I feel about John Shire. Maybe it should. Maybe I'm naive. I don't know. But disappointing end to a, you know, generally really good year. I still think if you take things in 5-year increments, Duke's doing pretty well the last 5 years, all things considered. At the time, kind of felt like it was my fault. You know, what did I do wrong? Well, what sin did I commit that the Duke didn't win? Why couldn't I find the right spot that fixed the mojo? It got so bad when Duke was falling apart down the stretch. I mean, these birria tacos I got twice on the trip were hitting. They were so good. And I was like halfway through one, it just tasted like gray mush in my mouth. And these were some of the best birria tacos I've ever had in my life. And they tasted like mush. I was sick to my stomach the entire time, especially when a couple buddies tried to tell me, yeah, it's okay, Duke's got this, they'll make a play. Like, no, just watch the game. Please, you didn't have to put that energy out there in the universe. Houston's now 5-0 when they're trailing by 5 points or more at halftime this year. You can't kill Houston. It's the Calipari line from the tournament, right? They put us in the coffin. They just forgot the nails. And that's Houston. Two of the best comebacks in college basketball history, not just this year, but in college basketball history this year, on the road at Kansas and then in the Final Four against Duke. So tip of the cap to Houston. Should be a fantastic basketball game, not really a bad national championship game that we could have had with the Final Four that we had. So Houston and Florida tonight, we will carry that right here in 93.7 The Ticket. I need to take a break. We'll be right back, talk some Royals baseball on the other side as we continue Old School.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.